providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the second half of the KE Report. One of the most talked about subjects on this particular program has to do with the medical industry in the United States. My friend Jeff Deist gave a talk back on June 17th of this year at the Mises Institute's Medical Freedom Summit, which was located in Salem, New Hampshire. I have an excerpt right now in front of me of Jeff's speech. He addresses virtually every single comment in this speech, Larry, that you complain about. I don't want to say ad nauseum, because I am starting to agree with you. Let me start out chatting with Jeff by saying, quote, Jeff, you said in the second paragraph here that, first, in a certain sense, medicine in America is broken. Doctors and patients are unhappy. The quality of care deteriorates and costs keep increasing. Initially, Jeff, I'd like you to address those two concepts.
Well, I would say, Al, that medicine, along with maybe education and banking, is a field where government is heavily involved. And I think not coincidentally, we see costs going up and we see quality going down. Obviously, I'm biased. I'm very much pro free markets, even in medicine. But nonetheless, it's not just patients and consumers who are unhappy, Al. It's the doctors and the nurses and the providers who are unhappy as well. So we have a situation where we've created a very anti-market industry. Most people don't really know how much things cost. And most people don't really know how much they're paying. They know that maybe their employer charges them every month for their health insurance. And so what we've done is we've turned insurance into something it was never meant to be.
And what is
insurance
that?
Insurance is for when something catastrophic happens.
Right.
You're just going along in life and you get in a terrible car accident. You're going along in life, you get a cancer diagnosis. Insurance is not for just ordinary treatment, you know, dental cleanings, checkups, shots, an urgent care for the flu, a sprained ankle on the tennis court. And so once we started insuring for these things, and especially doing so through the requirement of Obamacare for people to have insurance, but even before that, the ability of employers to deduct the cost of employee health insurance, whereas as an individual you couldn't. And we forced all these people into insurance, and so we put all these middlemen, you know, whether it's government in the form of Medicaid or Medicare or VA, or whether it's a quasi-government third-party middleman at Blue Cross or Cigna or your HMO or your PPO, with all these middlemen in between, the patients and the doctors lost sight of each other and how much things cost. And so we don't consume medicine the same way we do other things. We don't consider the cost. We don't try to avoid unnecessary treatment. We don't try to, just stay healthy because of money. There's all kinds of ways in which the market and all of the discipline it would impose has really been skewed. And I think it's actually a very scary time, Al, because the percentage of Americans over 65, that percentage is set to double in the next years. And that's, in your later years is when you tend to consume more healthcare.
Of course.
And so when we see how unhappy doctors are, and I mentioned a survey, it's called the Great American Physician Survey, where only about half of the docs would even recommend their own profession, which we used to think of doctor as sort of a highly paid, high prestige profession. They're unhappy too. So what that means, Al, is we're going to have more and more older people. And I fear that the best and brightest younger people are just not going to go into med school.
I know, Jeff, you brought that up. I want to ask you a question on something else that you brought up, and that is, even before COVID, American life expectancy declined 3 years running, 3 years in a row. Even before COVID, too many Americans were sick, depressed, fat, and unhappy with their physical and mental health. I wonder if we ever will have accurate data about undiagnosed and untreated cancer and other serious illnesses as a result of the hospital and clinic lockdown. Why do you say that, Jeff?
Well, a lot of people didn't go to the doctor. I mean, during COVID, if you look at hospitals, I mean, all kinds of surgeries were canceled. Virtually any sort of elective or semi-elective surgery was canceled. A lot of hospitals went broke and shut down and laid people off as a result because they make a lot of money off surgery, and that's their bread and butter day in and day out. Right. And so when you tell everybody to stay home, you know, a lot of Americans gained weight, so that first and foremost will spread out through society in a variety of health problems. Cancer visits may not have happened, so early cancer treatment and detection might not have happened. Heart disease, diabetes, stroke, all of these things presumably got worse because everybody was home. And you know, there's a cost to that. It's going to be hard to quantify. It's going to be hard to point out because it's going to happen over many, many years. But it's frightening to think of.
Well, I got to tell you, Jeff, as you know, I've just gone through this in a very, very dramatic fashion with the demise of my wife of 47 years. I have some complaints right now about the medical system, but I'm smart enough to realize that perhaps some of my complaints are a little bit irrational because I'm a pretty angry cowboy right now. Let me go on to something here. We've got about 2 minutes left in this particular segment, but I want to go back to something other than the doctor thing that you mentioned. I do know, personally speaking, that most doctors are very unhappy right now, and I certainly don't blame them. In the next segment, I'll give you a very concrete example about somebody who just left. But anyway, you go on, Jeff, and you say, quote, but at the very same time, medicine, broadly speaking, is absolutely poised for incredible entrepreneurial breakthroughs, which will revolutionize not only the practice and delivery of medicine, but also how we think about healthcare altogether. Let's spend some time talking about that, Jeff.
Well, it can't be avoided because everything's gotten so expensive that we're going to be forced, whether government's paying, whether insurance is paying, or whether we're paying as individuals, we're going to be forced to figure out how to go at this in a different way. Costs can't keep going up the way they have been. We know that. So I think, Al, what's going to happen is we're going to be more focused on prevention and health and diet and exercise and mental well-being and the kinds of things that can stop a lot of chronic disease from getting started. So I think that first and foremost. But beyond that, I think we're going to see a lot of development in cash, concierge medicine. We're going to see a lot of work pushed down to nurse practitioners and that sort of thing to save money. And I think we're going to see medical tourism. We're going to see more cash-only doctors. I think it's going to be actually quite an exciting time next couple decades.
Now, Jeff, we've only got about 2 minutes here, and then we've got to take a real quick commercial break. But I got to ask you this question. Please define what you mean when you say medical tourism.
Well, for instance, that's when people from Canada will travel to the United States to a cash-only clinic like Dr. Keith Smith's Oklahoma Surgery Center and have, let's say, rotator cuff surgery. They will just pay out of pocket. They'll pay a flat fee, which will cover the anesthesiologist, the surgery, the aftercare. They'll stay in a nice hotel room for a few days, and it'll be all-inclusive, one price, because under their Canadian system, you know, the rotator cuff is bothering them, and it might be a 2-year wait.
Right, right.
People will go offshore. They'll go out to a cruise ship, which is, you know, 12 miles offshore, however far to get into international waters.
Right.
And that cruise ship set up as a surgical suite. So there's examples like that happening now.
That's a very interesting transition that I do think could go on and occur. Jeff, I've got about 30 seconds here, and then we have to let the stations either air their news or go to a commercial break. What I want to talk about in the next close to 1 hour is you say medicine desperately needs to change. You're speaking to the choir, Jeff. Let's talk in the next segment about what kind of changes and who exactly is going to decide what.